The next LOS is to describe matrix pricing. Matrix pricing is a method of estimating the required yield to maturity or price of bonds that are currently not traded or infrequently traded. The procedure is to use the YTMs of traded bonds that have credit quality very close to that of a non-traded or infrequently traded bond and are similar in maturity and coupon to estimate the required YTM. For example, we may want to estimate the value of a non-traded 4% annual pay double B-rated bond that has 5 years remaining until maturity. Yields to maturity on similar corporate bonds are 4.738% for a 4-year 5% coupon bond, 5.232% for a 6-year 4% coupon bond, and 5.284% for a 6-year 6% coupon bond. To estimate the value of the non-traded 5-year bond, we can first take the average YTM of the 6-year bonds, which is 5.258%. Then we can average the YTM of the 4-year bond with the average 6-year bond yield, which gives us 4.998% as our estimated YTM for a 5-year bond. Now we can price the non-traded bond with a YTM of 4.998%. which gives us an estimated value of $956.79 per $1,000 par value. In using the averages in this example, we have used a simple form of linear interpolation. Because the maturity of the non-traded bond is 5 years, we use the simple average of the YTMs for the 4-year and 6-year bonds. Consider a case where we are estimating the value of a 5-year bond and have the YTMs of otherwise very similar bonds with 4-year and 7-year maturities. In this case, we estimate the YTM on the 5-year bond as the yield on the 4-year bond plus 1/3 of the difference between the YTM of the 4-year bond and the YTM of the 7-year bond, because the difference in maturity between the 4-year bond and the 5-year bond is 1 year, and the difference between the maturities of the 4-year and 7-year bonds is 3 years. A variation of matrix pricing used for pricing new bond issues focuses on the spreads between bond yields and the yields of a benchmark bond of similar maturity that is essentially default risk-free. Often, the yields on Treasury bonds are used as benchmark yields for U.S. dollar-denominated corporate bonds. When estimating the YTM for the new issue bond, the appropriate spread to the yield of a Treasury bond of the same maturity is estimated and added to the yield of the benchmark issue. The next LOS requires us to calculate and interpret yield measures for fixed-rate bonds, floating-rate notes, and money market instruments. We will begin with yield measures for fixed-rate bonds. We have previously covered the coupon rate and yield to maturity for fixed-rate bonds. The effective yield for a bond depends on how many coupon payments are made each year and is simply the compound return. How frequently coupon payments are made is referred to as the periodicity of the annual rate. An annual pay bond with an 8% YTM has an effective yield of 8%. A semi-annual pay bond, which has a periodicity of 2 with an 8% YTM, has a yield of 4% every 6 months and an effective yield of 1.04 squared minus 1, which is 8.16%. A quarterly pay bond, periodicity of 4 with an 8% YTM, has a yield of 2% every 3 months and an effective yield of 1.02 to the fourth power minus 1, which is 8.24%. Most bonds in the United States make semi-annual coupon payments, periodicity of 2, and YTMs are quoted on a semi-annual bond basis, which is simply 2 times the semi-annual discount rate. It may be necessary to adjust the quoted yield on a bond to make it comparable with the yield on a bond with a different periodicity. Bond yields calculated using the stated coupon payment dates are referred to as following the street convention. Because some coupon dates will fall on weekends and holidays, coupon payments will actually be made the next business day. The yield calculated using these actual coupon payment dates is referred to as the true yield. Some coupon payments will be made later when holidays and weekends are taken into account, so true yields will be slightly lower than street convention yields, if only by a few basis points. When calculating spreads between government bond yields and the yield on a corporate bond, the corporate bond yield is often restated to its yield on actual basis to match the day count convention used on government bonds, rather than the 30-360-day count convention used for calculating corporate bond yields. Current yield is simple to calculate but offers limited information. This measure looks at just one source of return, a bond's annual interest income. It does not consider capital gains and losses or reinvestment income. Current yield is equal to a bond's annual cash coupon payment divided by the bond's price. The current yield does not account for gains or losses as the bond's price moves toward its par value over time. A bond's simple yield takes a discount or a premium into account by assuming that any discount or premium declines evenly over the remaining years to maturity. The sum of the annual coupon payment plus the straight-line amortization of a discount, or minus the straight-line amortization of a premium, is divided by the flat price to get the simple yield. For a callable bond, an investor's yield will depend on whether and when the bond is called. The yield to call can be calculated for each possible call date and price. The lowest of yield to maturity and the various yields to call is termed the yield to worst. The option-adjusted yield is calculated by adding the value of the call option to the bond's current flat price. The value of a callable bond is equal to the value of the bond if it did not have the call option, minus the value of the call option because the issuer owns the call option. The option-adjusted yield will be less than the yield to maturity for a callable bond because callable bonds have higher yields to compensate bondholders for the issuer's call option. The option-adjusted yield can be used to compare the yields of bonds with various embedded options to each other and to similar option-free bonds. Next, we will discuss floating-rate note yields. The values of floating-rate notes, or FRNs, are more stable than those of fixed-rate debt of similar maturity because the coupon interest rates are reset periodically based on a reference rate. Recall that the coupon rate on a floating-rate note is the reference rate plus or minus a margin based on the credit risk of the bond relative to the credit risk of the reference rate instrument. The coupon rate for the next period is set using the current reference rate for the reset period, and the payment at the end of the period is based on this rate. For this reason, we say that interest is paid in arrears. If an FRN is issued by a company that has more credit risk than the bank's quoting LIBOR, a margin is added to LIBOR, the reference rate. If an FRN is issued by a company that has less credit risk than the bank's quoting LIBOR, a margin is subtracted from LIBOR. The liquidity of an FRN and its tax treatment can also affect the margin. We call the margin used to calculate the bond coupon payments the quoted margin, and we call the margin required to return the FRN to its par value the required margin or the discount margin. When the credit quality of an FRN is unchanged, the quoted margin is equal to the required margin, and the FRN returns to its par value at each reset date, when the next coupon payment is reset to the current market rate, plus or minus the appropriate margin. If the credit quality of the issuer decreases, the quoted margin will be less than the required margin, and the FRN will sell at a discount to its par value. If credit quality has improved, the quoted margin will be greater than the required margin, and the FRN will sell at a premium to its par value. A somewhat simplified way of calculating the value of an FRN on a reset date is to use the current reference rate plus the quoted margin to estimate the future cash flows for the FRN, and to discount these future cash flows at the reference rate plus the required margin. More complex models produce better estimates of value. Now, we turn to yields for money market instruments. Recall that yields on money market securities can be stated as a discount from face value or as add-on yields and can be based on a 360-day or 365-day basis. U.S. Treasury bills are quoted as annualized discounts from face value based on a 360-day year. LIBOR and bank CD rates are quoted as add-on yields. We need to be able to calculate the actual payment on a money market security given its yield and knowledge of how the yield was calculated, and compare the yields on two securities that are quoted on different yield bases. Both discount basis and add-on yields in the money market are quoted as simple annual interest. The following examples illustrate the required calculations and quote conventions. If a $1,000 90-day T-bill is priced with an annualized discount of 1.2%, its discount from face value is 1.2% times 90 over 360 times $1,000, which is $3. So its current price is $997. The equivalent add-on yield for 90 days is 3 divided by 997, which equals 0.3009%. The annualized add-on yield based on a 365-day year is 365 over 90 times 0.3009, which equals 1.2203%. This add-on yield based on a 365-day year is referred to as the bond equivalent yield for a money market security. For another example, a $1 million negotiable CD with 120 days to maturity is quoted with an add-on yield of 1.4% based on a 365-day year. We can calculate the payment at maturity for this CD and its bond equivalent yield. The add-on interest for the 120-day period is 120 over 365 times 1.4%, which equals 0.4603%. At maturity, the CD will pay $1 million times the quantity 1 plus 0.004603, which equals $1,004,603. The quoted yield on the CD is the bond equivalent yield because it is an add-on yield annualized based on a 365-day year. Let's look at one more example. A bank deposit for 100 days is quoted with an add-on yield of 1.5% based on a 360-day year. Calculate the bond equivalent yield and the yield on a semi-annual bond basis. Because the yield of 1.5% is an annualized effective yield calculated based on a 360-day year, the bond equivalent yield, which is based on a 365-day year, is 365 over 360 times 1.5%, which equals 1.5208%. To compare the yield on a money market security to the YTM of a semi-annual pay bond, the method is to convert the money market security's holding period return to an effective semi-annual yield and then double it. Because the yield of 1.5% is calculated as the add-on yield for 100 days times 100 over 360, the 100-day holding period return is 1.5% times 100 over 360, which equals 0.4167%. The effective annual yield is 1.004167 to the power of 365 over 100 minus 1, which equals 1.5294%. The equivalent semi-annual yield is the square root of 1.015294 minus 1, which equals 0.7618%, and the annual yield on a semi-annual bond basis is 2 times 0.7618%, which is 1.5236%. Because the periodicity of the money market security, 365 over 100, is greater than the periodicity of 2 for a semi-annual pay bond, the simple annual rate for the money market security, 1.5%, is less than the yield on a semi-annual bond basis, which has a periodicity of 2.